It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We learn from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency about educating groups on how to reduce chloride pollution while keeping roads and parking lots, sidewalks safe. Our state transportation department's Highway Maintenance Bureau publishes this data-rich annual report on salt use. Last winter, Wisconsin spread nearly 388,000 tons, about 11 tons per lane mile. Join in with your questions on road salt, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Brooke Oslison is Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's Chloride Reduction Program Coordinator. Brooke, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So chloride pollution being your total focus, what measurable changes have your programs made on waterways in Minnesota?
Well, yeah, thanks for having me here to talk about this. This is a very important topic, and for Minnesota and Wisconsin and, you know, many other cold weather states. As you mentioned, we do use a fair amount of salt each winter, and that does get into our waterways. And the big noticeable result that we've really seen is that we've seen an increase in chloride in many of our surface waters across the state. In Minnesota, we currently have 54 of our surface waters that are above our state standard for chloride, which is designed to protect our freshwater fish and other organisms living in those lakes and streams and those wetlands.
So 54 above state standards, what are some things that Minnesota has adopted that is making a difference, for environmental chloride reduction and cleanup?
I think that probably our most important and impactful measure that we have taken is our training program. We started a pilot training program actually back in 2006. And the goal of that initial pilot was to work with the private contractors to see if there were some actions, some easy things that they could do that would help maintain public safety, but also reducing the overall amount of salt being used. And over the years, that pilot program expanded. And now in the last few years, we've actually created a statewide training program. And we train thousands of winter maintenance professionals every year. And that has expanded to not only those private contractors, but as our state and our city winter maintenance professionals, as well as property managers and environmental professionals.
I'm wondering how you dispense that training. Is it virtual? Is it in person? How many hours?
Well, it used to be just in person. And then, of course, the pandemic had us all shift and do things a little differently. And so we did begin to offer them online. And now we do a little bit of both. So in the fall, we will have some of our partners who want to have an in-person training, maybe in their shop. And we have about a 5.5-hour training that then we would deliver in person. But we have continued to offer them online as well. That seems to be convenient for many folks. And so we actually are offering still through this month and February, we have several trainings on our training calendar and are working with professionals across our state and in other states as well. Since it's online, we do have a few folks from other states sneak in there.
So some people would say, why is training necessary if there is ice, black ice as well, salt where there is ice, and that's that. What it needs to be more sophisticated about how salt is put down?
Well, that's a really great question. And really what we're trying to do is provide them with a wide range of tools and strategies that will allow them to be effective at maintaining that snow and ice, but minimizing the overall amount of salt that they're using. And so in some situations, salt may not always be the best tool for the job. When the pavement temperature gets very cold, so we say about 15 degrees or colder, the most common form of salt, sodium chloride, is actually not going to be very effective. And so it's not really going to provide the melting that is desired. And so understanding the science behind how salt works can be a really effective tool to make sure that we're not wasting any salt and that we're using the right product. There are some other products, calcium chloride, magnesium chloride, that will be more effective at those colder temperatures. But when it gets really cold, sometimes you just got to put some sand down for that temporary traction and wait for things to warm up before you can get out there and clear that snow and ice.
You mentioned sand, and Anissa in Black Creek would like to bring up sand as well. Anissa, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm from the Upper Peninsula part of Michigan, so pretty rural areas. And I didn't really grow up with salting of the roads or sidewalks. There was always sand being used. I'm curious if that's something we can do in central and southern Wisconsin more readily than we wouldn't necessarily have the salt problem. I'm sure there's more to it, but I just am curious about that.
Anissa, thank you. What is the role of sand, Brooke?
Well, sand can be a really great tool for traction. I think that the main struggle with using salt is that it does actually melt the ice. And so it provides a little different level of service on that road or that parking lot. And so once the users are accustomed to that level of service, they kind of come to expect that, and their driving behaviors, come to expect that as well. And so I think in rural areas where we haven't yet changed kind of that expectation that there will be bare pavement or spots of bare pavement in the winter, using sand for traction is a great tool. Now, I will say that with sand, it is not without its environmental problems. Sand, of course, does get into our waterways and causes what we call turbidity issues. And so it kind of clouds up the water column and makes it more difficult for those fish to navigate and find food. It also can kind of start to fill in wetlands and lakes in particular if it gets deposited through a storm drain. And so it is not without its environmental impacts, but in some situation, yes, sand might be a better tool for the job, but we also have to make sure that those that are using those surfaces are aware that this is, we're not going to have bare pavement in this section of road and that you need to drive carefully. And for some areas, hopefully that will continue to work.
We're looking at efforts to reduce salt pollution with Brooke Oselson. She's the head of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's Chloride Reduction Program. You can join in with your questions and how your community approaches icy roads, 800-642-1234. Brooke, what can people do at home to reduce their salt use on their own sidewalks, driveways, things like that?
Well, in most cases, really, you can cut back quite a bit on the amount of salt that's being used if you are using salt on your driveway or your sidewalk. We recommend about 1,000 square feet. You can use probably about a coffee mug of salt. And so it really doesn't take very much salt for it to do its job. And so it's really important to pay attention to what's in the product, because as I mentioned before, if those pavement temperatures are below 15 degrees, typical rock salt or sodium chloride is not going to be very effective. And so that wouldn't be the best tool. And also a good point for your listeners is that there is really no labeling requirements on bags of de-icer. And so they can list some of the ingredients, none of the ingredients. They can make a lot of statements on the bag that is not verified with anyone really. And so that is something to be mindful of, is that if you see a bag of salt with all of these claims that it's environmentally friendly, works down to minus 50 degrees, it might actually be too good to be true, because there is no labeling requirements across the country on bags of de-icer.
You've also brought up the idea of whether this de-icer is pet safe. What have you seen there?
Well, there are a lot of de-icers that do claim to be safe for pets. And as far as I have been able to find over my years, there is not actually a testing procedure to confirm that. So there isn't some organization that has a test that says, okay, if you meet these criteria, we will say that it's pet safe. And so those claims being made, I'm not sure what the reasoning might be for making those statements, but there really isn't a national test that we can rely on to confirm and have confidence that that is going to be safe for our pets. And so I just recommend keeping your pets off of all the de-icers and for sure, cleaning those paws after they come in, if they do come in contact with any de-icers.
Are there any strategies at home, again, as we're talking about use at home here for a moment, of putting down the de-icer? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, spreading it is, you know, is harder than it seems, because you'll get a glop here and then a glop over there. How can you get a consistent coverage that isn't too much?
Well, one recommendation that we have is to use a spreader. So something that you might use for your fertilizer in the summer. You can use that same type of a handheld spreader, and you can actually measure the square footage of your driveway, and you can just draw a black, you know, line on there to show how much salt you need to cover the area. And then you can just use that to get a more even spread so that you don't have those clumps. And also to just, you know, really only need to salt those icy spots. And so putting salt on bare pavement really doesn't do a whole lot. And it's not necessarily going to provide future help, because it's likely not going to be there for very much longer. Someone's going to walk over it, drive over it, and that salt's going to move anyway. And so we really do not recommend using any type of granular salt as like a preventative measure.
The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's Brooke Osselson with us, works to reduce chlorine pollution in our neighboring state. Colin, about your salting strategy, what you wonder about road salt applications, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hundreds of thousands of tons of salt poured on Wisconsin roads each winter. We hear from Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's efforts to balance that need for safe roads versus the risk of further damaging watersheds. Call in about road salt, what you're curious about with Minnesota's approach, 800-642-1234. Brooke Osselson is Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's Chloride Reduction Program Coordinator and stays with us. Brooke, we heard from Michael in Green Bay called, and Michael wants to know if we're not using chloride alternatives because they're just too expensive, what is holding us back?
Well, yeah, that is a good point, that those alternatives often can be more expensive than traditional rock salt. However, they also have negative environmental impacts. There's been some research over the last few years, and we have seen that they do create their own problems. And so I think that even if there was a product that was more affordable, that there still would be some negative environmental impacts. And so I think that just trying to, you know, connect with the users of our roads, our parking lots, our sidewalks, and help them to change their expectations or what they consider to look like safe conditions. Because I think what has happened over the years is people have gotten used to seeing a lot of salt on top of all those paved surfaces, and now equate that to mean it must be safe. If they see all of this salt scattered all over the place, they have kind of a false sense of security and think that those surfaces are being well maintained. And I think part of the basis of our training program is really to help them understand that the winter maintenance professionals, that that doesn't really mean, you know, that they put a lot of thought into what is the best tool or strategy for keeping that area safe. There are a lot of different tools, a lot of ways that we can achieve safety, but sometimes that public expectation and that public demand to see salt can create a situation where especially private contractors just have to come back and put more salt down. So I think helping the general public understand that there is a way to maintain our roads and our parking lots without creating unnecessary damage to the environment. It just might look a little different than what they're used to.
We need to adjust our expectations is what I'm hearing a bit there. You know, just a follow up, Kevin in Janesville called and wants to hear about the chemical alternatives that have emerged. Kevin brings up fluoride, beet juice. And here in Wisconsin, there was also an alternative idea of liquid cheese brine, things that have been come up over the past decade or so. Where is research at with these alternatives? alternatives?
Well, the one alternative that has seemed to have the most promise from just kind of a winter maintenance perspective is potassium acetate. That is one that has come down slightly in price over the years. It's not nearly as corrosive as salt is on our infrastructure, and it is an effective de-icer. And so Minnesota's Department of Transportation actually did a research study a few years ago with a couple different universities to better understand what are the environmental impacts of potassium acetate. And we found, unfortunately, that the potassium side of potassium acetate is highly toxic to our freshwater insects and plants. Now, the acetate will break down over time, so that's where some of these alternatives might seem like a better option because they're not permanent. So chloride is a permanent pollutant. And so once we've introduced chloride into our waters, there's no way to remove it and it doesn't break down over time. Some of these alternatives will break down, but you mentioned cheese brine. Actually, there's an area in Minnesota that has a pickle factory that they use the pickle brine. Those have some salt in them. They still need to actually add salt to make them work as a de-icer. And that organic material actually creates problems in our waterways when it breaks down. So it actually depletes the oxygen from our freshwater systems. And so that can create a problem as well. And so right now, really the only alternative, beet juice, is one that does actually make the existing salt more effective and work at lower temperatures. And so what I have heard from those in the winter maintenance industry is that beet juice seems to be the one that they are using in small amounts because it can kind of gunk up their equipment too. It is a little bit thick. But that one actually does make the salt more effective. But all of those other products typically will still have, they need to have some type of de-icer in them. And most commonly it's going to be a chloride containing de-icer, but there are others out there.
Let's go to Phil now in Fitchburg. Phil, hi, what would you like to bring up?
Well, 2 points quickly. One is I realize that those fellows that are gals that are spreading salt on our highways have a difficult job and probably have been working long hours, maybe in the dark. I just think that we all ought to honor them by giving them a break and not following too closely or whatever. The second point that I would like to make is I have a driveway on a slope, and what I have found is that if I sprinkle salt on the upper section of the driveway, it not only will melt that ice, if appropriate, but it will also flow down the driveway as a liquid and continue to melt the ice on the bottom half of the driveway. So it's a way to economize as well as to limit the amount of salt that I'm using.
Oh, Phil, thank you for that tip. Brooke, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a wonderful, and that's really what we need from not only the public, but from winter maintenance professionals, is just to look at what we're doing a little bit differently, to try to get a little creative, find some innovative ways to try to keep that surface safe and minimizing our salt use. And we have seen great success with that in Minnesota and well as Wisconsin from some of our winter maintenance professionals. And so that is a really great creative idea. Liquids is actually kind of the wave of the future in winter maintenance. A lot of organizations who are very proactive and on top of this will in many cases be using liquids. So that is the tool that is most effective for those private contractors as well as our city and county and state winter maintenance organizations, because that is actually 23.3% salt and the rest is water. And so what you're doing is you're activating that salt. So salt by itself is not going to melt any ice. It needs to be in contact with water because it's actually changing the temperature at which that water freezes. And so by using liquids, you put it on, if you put it on before, that's called anti-icing. And that layer of liquid will stay there until it's kind of ready to go and activated. And it'll prevent that snow and ice from bonding with the pavement. And that's when we have the toughest time, is when that snow and ice has actually bonded with the pavement. It's really hard to remove that. And so liquids is really kind of the way of the future here for winter maintenance.
Does liquid require changing the trucks used or the type of equipment used?
Yes, it does require certain equipment. So you need to have brine. So you need to either purchase it from someone, or you need to have brine making equipment. And then you have to have tanks, of course, to store it, and then tanks in the truck that you can apply it. And then you have to have, spray nozzles on the back of your truck. But there are a lot of really creative ways for organizations, small and large, to implement a liquids program. And we have found that even with those upfront costs of replacing equipment, they save money within the first year or two because they're using such less salt or such less product. And so they're actually able to save money for their organization by switching to liquids. And so it can have a cost benefit as well as an environmental benefit.
Peter in Amherst is here. Peter, hi. We're short on time. What would you like to bring up?
Yes, good morning. Important topic today. So I belong to the Isaac Walton League. And Brooke, I'm not sure if you've ever like to tell the listeners about the Salt Watch program. So through Isaac Walton National Program, you can go online, order a salt kit, and you can test your waterways. So if you have a pond in your nearby roadways and you're worried about salt, you can get a test kit. So I'd recommend people to go online, check it out, but that way you can enter the national database. And it's not about banning salt. It's kind of like what Brooke is talking about, but using alternative ways
to monitor,
either using sand or brine.
Peter, thank you. Very quickly, Brooke, the salt kit approach.
Yeah, actually, we have partnered with the Isaac Walton League of America in the past, and we have many of our local partners, our watershed organizations, who have a partnership to utilize those kits to just help better understand what is the chloride situation in our waterways, where is it highest, what time of year is it highest, to just have some additional help out there looking for the problem and then hopefully coming up with creative ways to cut back on the salt in that area.
Brooke, thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Brooke Oslason is Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's Chloride Reduction Program Coordinator. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.